BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports this season, whether it's golf, baseball, NBA, NHL playoffs, and then, of course, all the latest stats, news, scores are all available as you follow your favorite teams. Glenn, it's been a crazy NBA playoff this year so far. NHL as well, but certainly with basketball. But I'm really excited for this partnership, looking forward to working with them. Hopefully you guys can have some fun using it.
Yeah, no doubt. And you, and also with BetOnline, you can get all the latest odds, all the latest lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds on just about every sport you can imagine. So make sure you guys head to their website today. That's betonline.ag, or you can download their mobile app to your mobile device on both Android or Apple devices. It's just betonline.ag. You'll see a big B there. Go ahead and download that. BetOnline, where the game starts. Welcome in, everyone, to another live edition of 410 Sports Talk. I'm Glenn Martin, here with my co-host James Haskell, and of course DK in the background helping us out. Welcome in. We got, you know, big rookie mini camp just happened this past weekend, and man, we're excited to get into it. A lot of new Ravens, a lot of new guys that we got to get to know and kind of get a feel for what they're going to be bringing to the team, to the community. So, Jimmy, we got a pretty exciting guest planned for tonight. A little surprise for the fans, right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm happy we left it as a surprise because as my light dies, like I'm a rookie. I'm happy we left it as a surprise because the faithful know that we always do our very best to bring in guests, and I know that they'll be here. So I'm excited to talk about it. I'm going to do my best to introduce the one, the only, Jamion Franklin, standing 6'2", 310 pounds, according to Duke University's website. defensive tackle, like I said, straight out of Duke University, the Blue Devil himself, Jamion Franklin, undrafted rookie defensive tackle for the Baltimore Ravens. How you doing, my man?
Thanks, good man. How are you guys? Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. First of all, dude, what you got going on in the room behind you? Holy heck.
Yeah, so this is my brother-in-law's room, and it's a mess, but he's a big sports guy, so there's lots of memorabilia all around. There's signed walls, there's signed posters, and all kinds of stuff, man. If there's any Steelers stuff in the background, just let me know. I'll move out of the way.
Yeah, so there you go. You just
tear it right off the walls.
Yeah, that's right. You know how it goes. Start. Look, you got to start them young. You know how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Look, I can tell you what, man, really quickly, speaking of rivalries, you might be too young for this, but back in the ACC days, Glenn and I are, of course, are Terps fans by nature. That when the Terps with Juan Dixon and Gary Williams and Steve Blake and Lonnie Baxter back in the day with Jay Williams and I can't even name. There's a ton of other
guys. We're a lot older than Jamion. We're a lot older. True.
But those basketball days, of course, you're a Duke guy. Those were a lot of fun. But I got to ask you, starting off, how'd you end up at Duke and why'd you choose to go in there?
Well, first of all, I definitely know about that. My dad's a Terp, so like he's a Terp.
Oh, nice. All right.
You know, he didn't go, but like that's he's a Commanders fan, unfortunately, but he's like all about Maryland sports. So like growing up, I know all about it. Went to a few games and you know, he's pretty rowdy about him. So when I made the decision to go to Duke, he was not too happy about it. So I've got all of that. I don't know all the old guys, old rivalries all the way, but I remember watching some games and watching like Gravis Vasquez and Steve Blake and those guys.
Yeah,
so,
I got a little general.
But yeah, you know, ultimately, when I made the decision to leave Notre Dame, Duke was one of the first offers that I got coming out of high school. So I always had, you know, some feelings about them and really a high respect for them. But ultimately, just the ACC, you know, what the ACC has and the brand that Duke is and the degree that I was able to obtain from there is what really made the decision really clear cut for me to make that transition to North Carolina and, you know, play in the ACC against top competition and get that degree really.
Awesome. Yeah. Nice.
No doubt. That degree will last you much longer than hopefully a very long football career. So certainly congratulations on that. Now, you're a Maryland guy, right? Like this is a bit of a homecoming coming back to Maryland, right?
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, that's all I've ever known was Ravens football. You know, growing up, my dad was a Redskins guy, but you know, something always drew me towards the Baltimore Ravens. So yeah, it's definitely it's crazy, you know, talking to all my peers and everything like that. And you know, one of my buddies, he's an agent in the, you know, the sports business. And he was like, I can't believe that you get to play for your favorite team. So it's so definitely cool. a surreal moment.
So walk us through that a little bit. I mean, it's a little different, of course, when you go undrafted. I think in some ways you got some advantages. We've spent a lot of time here on this show talking about and analyzing success stories here in Baltimore with undrafted guys. But I think it's cool. One, you get a choice. Two, you know, you play well. I'm pretty sure you get to that paycheck faster potentially on how things line up, which is also nice. But how did it all line up here in Baltimore to you know, make you eventually a Baltimore Raven? Walk us through that a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, ultimately throughout the process, you know, I didn't even have the Ravens in my mind, given, you know, obviously the stout defensive line room that we have. Mm-hmm. Obviously very fortunate to be a part of, you know, these are guys like I've spoke with Michael Pierce often, you know, throughout the process, throughout college, and, you know, really getting like nuggets from him on how to play the game the way he does. And to be here with him, you know, it's a blessing, man, to learn from one of the best in the game, and him and Beeks, and, you know, just, you know, open my ears, open my eyes, and learn how to play at this level. But yeah, going throughout the process, you know, the Ravens and, you know, the D-line coach, Coach DJ, we spoke quite a bit. So I knew that there was some interest there. I wasn't unable to do the local day because, you know, I'm from the Eastern Shore, so it's kind of like 5 miles outside the radius of which was allowed. So, you know, wow. I wasn't able to do the local day, which sucked. But, you know, I knew the interest was there. And, you know, obviously it would have, you know, like it's a dream come true to play for the Ravens. But I wasn't really sure if the opportunity would present itself. Had a good bit of teams. It was like seven teams total that were reaching out to me. But ultimately on draft day, you know, right after the draft closed, like my line rang, I spoke with my agent, and, you know, Baltimore was clear cut. That was the choice that I knew that I needed to be here, and it was the place for me to be.
So cool, is that a pretty quick process? Like as soon as the draft's over, is the phone ringing?
Oh, it was. Yeah. I mean, I think that the pick was already submitted, but it hadn't been announced yet. And, you know, I already was like, my agent called me, was like, you know, we're going to Baltimore. And I said, let's do it. You know, there's no second guessing about it. I was ready to, you know, come home and play at home.
Man, that's so awesome. And I think it's, I'm just guessing here, and you can confirm or say, you know, speak to the contrary, but I imagine that when a team like Baltimore does call, like you said, there has to be some preliminary research done by you and your agent, and you obviously knowing the team growing up and then him being an agent himself, simply understanding the success that undrafted guys have had here. Did that help sway you? You know, and you talked about Michael Pierce, an undrafted guy himself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But did that sway you, of course, when deciding to come to Baltimore?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, you know, being a Ravens guy my whole life, it's an opportunity that I wasn't going to let slide, you know, and everything that I had saw growing up and, you know, heard about is true. You know, I experienced it through this rookie minicamp. It's a culture that, you know, that I'd always seen and wanted to be a part of, and getting in the room and getting in the defensive unit room and listening to Coach Harbaugh speak, I knew that it was the right place for me. Obviously, they have a good success with undrafted free agents, especially D linemen, and using Michael Pierce as a prime example. So I knew that I was going to be developed, but obviously just the culture and what, when you think of Ravens defense, it's just something that you want to be a part of. And, you know, whatever my role may be, whatever I need to do to be a part of that, it was just something that I couldn't pass up.
That's so cool.
As we talked to Ravens defensive lineman Jamion Franklin, and again, appreciate your time. When you see you're going to not just the Ravens, who have a storied tradition, but coming off the heels of being the number one defense in all of football, leading the league in really all the most important categories, does that come with a little bit extra juice, a little bit extra pressure, knowing that, look, this isn't a team on the rebuild. This is a team that's ready to win now, and knowing that, you know, it's probably going to be a pretty stout roster. This isn't a team that's, you know, picking first or second in the draft. They picked 30th, so it's a pretty good roster. Does that add a little juice to, you know, training camp and all that?
Yeah, absolutely. Just, you know, it's the best of the best. You know, the NFL is the 1% of 1%. So, you know, just honored to reach that. You know, it hit me after finishing that mini camp, like, you know, I'm in the NFL now. But it's definitely a great feeling to be a part of such a storied tradition, such a great unit. And again, like, I'm fortunate enough to be learning from some of the best defensive linemen in the league, like, you know, guys that I have watched their film and I tried to model their technique and model how they play in order to benefit me at the college level. So really excited, really fortunate. And, you know, just to get back this weekend and start working with these vets, you know, it's just an opportunity that I'm excited for. And, you know, I can't wait to get rolling. You know, there's a long offseason still left at hand, but you know, I think that just from how I was able to adjust and learn on the fly this mini camp, that getting around those vets and soaking up what they have to offer really helped me in the long run.
Yeah, what was that that mini camp, you know, what was rookie mini camp like? What was that experience like for you? And were there any big changes that you necessarily were or weren't expecting, you know, coming into your first experience in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, it was everything that I expected as far as like, you know, it's just like I attribute it to when I came out of high school and I got to college, like the game just moves faster. And, you know, I was talking to Coach Harbaugh and Coach Orr about, you know, what did you guys notice after the first day of practice? And I'm like, you know, excuse my language, shit moves fast. You know, that's one thing that I was like, yeah, coach, like shit moves fast. So that's one thing that I definitely expected. But I think that between learning the plays on the fly, learning my role, and just learning the new techniques that I hadn't experienced in college and the way that I played in my defense at a 4-2-5 at Duke, it really just showed me that, like, you know, this is high level. You know, things are coming at you fast. And the faster you learn it, the faster that you are able to expand your football IQ, the better off you'll be. But I say it was very fast paced, but, you know, it felt good. You know, you spend all these months training to do stupid drills at pro days and combines. And, you know, I'm a football player. You know, I'm going to bring your lunch pail and knock people around, and to get back out there and to be able to do that. And, you know, it felt good, you know, obviously not being able to be in pads, but to get out there and bang around, run around, fly to the ball and stuff, that really felt good. And it really showed me that, you know, I belong. You know, you have if you don't have a sense of doubt or, you know, feeling like that, then you don't care. You know, that's something that a lot of people are like, you know, do you think you belong or things like that? And you knew you always have that doubt, but, you know, you get out there and you get to moving. I was like, man, I feel like I belong here, and I feel like that this is what I want to do. So I was really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I always wonder, like, is it one of those things sometimes when I'll be like a customer at a certain store or restaurant, then you kind of finally get a peek behind the curtain of that. And sometimes it's disappointing. Sometimes it's like, man, I thought it would be more organized than this, or I thought it would be, you know, this or that. You know, being a Ravens fan, you finally get a peek behind the curtain. It sounds like it's kind of lived up to all that you kind of thought it was. Like, was there anything you were like, oh, I thought this would be a little bit different? Was there any surprises in that regard?
No, not really. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously playing high-level football in college and, you know, seeing the facilities and things like that, I think everything was up to par, man. Everything was what I expected it to be, being the Baltimore Ravens, you know, getting in that locker room and seeing your name on that locker room, like realizing that you are now a part of it. You're no longer a fan, but you are a player for the organization is such a great feeling to have. But everything lived up to expectations and surpassed them, really, to be in those meeting rooms, to see the slides with Ray Lewis and Haloti Ngata and Terrell Suggs, and, you know, to realize that I'm a part of that defense.
It's crazy,
and
man,
whatever I contribute to, you know, I'm just trying to leave it better than I found it and better than I watched it when I was growing up. So that's just really a great feeling.
That's awesome, man.
Suggs, Ray, and there you are, Jamie. That's right. Belong there. Yes, sir.
That's so awesome, man. And congratulations once again, of course. We do have another question from our producer, DK, of course, who's in the background, said, where do you learn public speaking? Is there a class you've taken to learn how to present yourself publicly? You seem to be extremely articulate. So if you're going to give Duke credit for this one, Jamie, you're going to have to mute. You know, I'm kidding.
No, I mean, I was always taught, and, you know, grew up to be able to speak well and, you know, just know my surroundings and present myself in a manner where I can communicate amongst other people. But I studied communications and visual media studies in school, because I, you know, like, I was always taught to do what you're good at, and I'm good at talking to people. I'm good at communicating. I'm good at speaking about sports or, you know, just starting conversation. I'm the guy that walks into the room and, you know, it's quiet and you can hear anything, like a penny drop on the floor, and I'll crack a joke and, you know, break the ice. So that's always something I've taken pride in, is being able to speak well amongst my peers and others that are highly respected. But, you know, it's just something that I really care about. I care about being articulate. I care about, you know, being able to answer questions deeper than just, you know, two lines, you know. So it's just something I've always taken pride in. But yeah, I mean, I studied communications and visual media studies in school. So go Duke.
I tell you what, the Ravens are going to, I think we're going to see you in a lot of press conferences. Yeah, I can only imagine.
I was going to say though, now, if I'm not mistaken, the same emoji is used for the Ravens and the Blue Devils, right? Isn't it the purple smiley face with the horns?
Yeah. Yeah. We use that quite often.
And the Ravens use that quite often as well. So you don't have to change that one up. But certainly, I agree. Look, if you ever need a side hustle, go to some of the other rookies and just say, look, give me a consulting fee. I'll teach you how to speak in front of a microphone because
you got skills.
There's some that, and not just
everybody needs practice. Some need practice, Jimbo. Okay?
That's what I'm trying to say. I'm speaking league wide. I'm not speaking specific to the Ravens.
That's right. Everybody needs a little practice. Hey, I got a question though, Jamion. Is there anyone that you're looking forward to, whether it's a teammate like Lamar or you know anybody like that you think you might be a little bit starstruck, a little? Is there anyone that you can't wait to play against or can't wait to see for training camp when the veterans arrive? Roquan, anybody?
Yeah, I mean. Obviously, it would be Lamar. I mean, that's somebody that I've watched and, you know, I've gone to bat for forever being a fan. So, you know, being in there and seeing the locker of Lamar Jackson and seeing the locker of Derrick Henry, like, you know, that'll be the moment when I finally meet those guys. That'll definitely be like a wow. Like, this is crazy to finally meet you guys and not only meet you guys, but like to be a teammate of yours. So that's, you know, it's a dream come true, man, to play with the elite of the elite, former MVPs and, you know, highly regarded elite talent of this NFL league that I'm a part of now. It's just a great feeling. And Kyle Hamilton's my guy. So, you know, I won't really be too excited to see him. You know, I was at Notre Dame with him and I play PlayStation with him often. So I'll probably, you know, put him a headlock or something. You know, that's my guy.
That's awesome. And now I got to ask you a couple questions about your Twitter. That's okay.
Here we
go. Ask you a couple questions about your Twitter.
Here we go.
You like to talk sports. Okay. So I noticed this actually. I think this was today. Yes, today. Today's the 7th. Yeah, today. First of all, Austin Rivers is whatever, right? Austin Rivers tweeted out, or NBA Central tweeted out, I can take 30 players right now in the NBA and throw them in the NFL. You cannot take 30 players in the NFL and put them in the NBA. You retweeted that and said, absurd cap. What say you to this point? I'd love to know.
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard because, I mean, he's a Duke guy, you know, and – you know, we're already hated enough. Like, I don't know why he had to go and do that, but you know, not all pub is bad pub. So, you know, for him, it's probably good to get the ball rolling and go viral. But, you know, there's just no way. Like, you know, I love basketball. Like if I knew that I was going to be 6'1", then I would have gave up on my basketball dreams a long time ago. But when I was a kid, I was going
to
the NBA. Like, but there's not room for any 6'2" center, so I gave it up. I still got a mean jumper, like a little Tim Duncan off the glass,
mid range,
you know, up and under. But you know, there's no room for 6'2" guards. But you know, you look at guys like Micah Parsons and, you know, C.J. Stroud and those kind of guys, and you watch the celebrity games and you see Miles Garrett Duncan and stuff like that. Like, there's guys that, you know, their background kind of like me. Like you play every sport possible growing up. And there's a lot of like tight ends, like Mark Andrews, I'm sure could go give you 10 and 10 in the league, you know?
Oh, for sure.
But I thought it was just crazy. Like there's so many athletes in this football league that we play in that are elite, and elite translates, you know, elite athleticism can translate. And I mean, you give them a month or two to train, you get them with a shooting coach like Lethal Shooter, then, you know, you're going to make something happen. So
Kyle Hamilton, what about him? Is he a baller or what?
He's a hooper. Yeah, exactly. Like Kyle's a hooper. You know, you can go out there and, you know, he can strap somebody up, man. Somebody up and get, and his dad's a hooper too. So like, you know, I don't, it was just crazy to me. Like, you know, we already get enough hate being Duke guys and he just,
I tell you what, man, for me, I think of there being a list of NBA players that hypothetically could play in the league in the NFL. But the biggest thing that always comes down to for me is the want for physicality.
Yeah.
Because like NBA players are so coddled today as far as the way the game is refereed. Absolutely. Not like back in the day, to where like, I think once again, I think there's guys that have the athletic ability, but they take one pop over the middle and it's like, yeah, I'm good. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're like, yeah, I'm okay.
You give me Russell Westbrook as a safety. You give me Zion off the edge.
Whew. Draymond
Green off the edge too, but you know. Other than
that, have you seen videos of Draymond trying to go to practice at Michigan State lineup?
It did not go well.
Yeah, I think he was on the wrong side of the ball. He wants to go there. I think he
needs to. That's great. But you're right. I mean,
to deliver blows. So yeah. I think he should have been on defense.
Yeah, man. Could you imagine Zion coming off the edge, though? You're right.
Dude, he would be Myles Garrett 2.0. Like, he would be insane. But I've said this a long time.
On the court, and it looks like Zion, just a freaky, muscular guy windmilling.
Monster. Monster and athletic. But I've always said,
he might eat his way to the inside.
Oh, stop it. The rest of the world is lucky that America doesn't take soccer as seriously as other countries, because they have soccer. The rest of the world has soccer. But if we took soccer as seriously as we do football and basketball, they wouldn't have soccer either. Yeah, we'd have soccer.
Imagine Tyreek Hill out there, you know, dribbling a soccer ball. It's
like, imagine Russell Westbrook is a striker.
Oh, yeah, over with.
jumping up, heading balls. No one's getting as high as that guy. No, like, are we talking? I'm putting LeBron in the net. I'm making him my goalie. Good luck scoring. You know what I'm saying?
No, I gotta also ask you. First of all, your Twitter is hilarious. Some of the stuff that you tweet is, you're a good follow. It's fun stuff. We've only been following you since you obviously got picked up by the Ravens. And the one where somebody had you tweeting, I don't know who this is. This must be somebody you know, but you retweeted it. It was a picture of Drewski coming in with a what do you have on? Like some cutoffs and a hat on. Brian Kennedy. I don't know if I'm assuming you know that guy.
Strolling
into Ravens camp day one, dude. That was hilarious, man. I was cracking up, man. But
that's a great fan base, man. Those older guys they're hilarious. We got the hard hat guys like Brian Kennedy and those guys with their podcast. They're great people, man.
No, that's awesome. Now what I want to know though, from your standpoint, you have an opportunity to let the fans know what type of player they're getting, what they should expect from you out there, you know. So talk to us about what people should expect to see when they see you out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're gonna see what you've already seen as far as a guy that, you know, that he makes others around him better. I think that my entire college career, I've been a guy that's kind of like a glue guy. You know, the guys around me play well. I'm able to help out guys. And I think that, you know, dominating the line of scrimmage, knocking people back, you know, helping out guys like Roquan. I mean, they're making him clean so you can see the athletes run around. But that's something I always take, you know, you have to earn the right to rush the passer. So, you know, stopping the run is always something I've took pride in. And again, to be in a room with guys like Mike Pierce, Travis Jones, and those kind of guys, like, I think that my game fits in right along with them. You know, it'll be a seamless transition to just learn from those guys and continue to progress in my game is, you know, using my hands and moving people around, because that's what this defense does. You got big bodies up front moving people around. You got guys, you know, causing havoc for the quarterback and, you know, stopping guys in the backfield. And I think that'll be a lot of that in the near future.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. I love that football is all year round. I mean, you know what? I don't care that it's not till fall. I'm ready for football right now. I can't wait. Jamie, when are you back in town? What's the next step for you after that rookie mini camp this past weekend?
Yeah, so I'll be back in town on Sunday, and from that moment forward, you know, it's all in, you know, just bettering myself and bettering my understanding of the defense and, you know, just being a part of this culture. So really excited to get back and continue. You know, I got a little taste of rookie mini camp, and, you know, I'm excited, man. It's the place to be. You know, it's a good fit for me, not only structurally and defensively, but the culture is, you know, it's everything that I'd hope for to play for and be a part of in the National Football League. So I'm excited to get back and get going for real.
That's awesome, man. Well, look, you probably already know this, but being that we are Ravens fans and I know Michael Pierce, look, that last preseason game, Michael Pierce, I'll never forget it. I was sitting in a hotel room and Michael absolutely dominated that game. For a guy at his position to take it over. I think he had a 2 sacks. And one of them, I think, was a safety.
Big tackle for loss,
Yeah, it was huge. I mean, it was such a cool thing. And, you know, look, that's propelled him. That was just the him coming onto the scene, right? So, total unsolicited advice. I'm not in your shoes. I'll never be in your shoes. But don't forget that every preseason game counts. We'll be watching you. We'll be rooting
so
for you.
So excited for you, Jamie.
Yeah, man. We'll be screaming for you at training camp, at preseason. Mm-hmm. Hope to see you out there. We're so grateful that you came on with us tonight. Why don't you let folks know if you're interested in folks finding you on Twitter? Mm-hmm. Let folks know where they can follow you on Twitter if you want them to. Or anything exciting you got going on outside of football, if there's anything else you want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, you can follow me on Twitter at Jamion_Franklin, but not much really interesting going on. I'm a pretty low-key guy. I do tweet funny stuff, so you know,
he's a good follow.
It's a lot of sports related stuff and a lot of my opinions that don't really matter, but it makes you laugh. Yeah, that's all I got going on, really. You know, excited to be in Baltimore. Excited to finally fill my dreams of being in the NFL, but it doesn't stop there. You know, I want to be in this league for a long time. So excited to learn from the vets when I get back and learning ways to be around. So really excited and thankful for your guys' platform having me on, and go Ravens.
Dude, absolutely. Yes, I'll this is the actual last thing I'll tell you. When you're in town and you're down the city, you need a good list of restaurants, hit us up on Twitter.
That's it.
Got all the good spots, dude. We'll hook you up and make sure you're eating good. But we appreciate it once again, man. Thank you so much. Have a great evening. And hopefully we can have you on soon in the near future. Maybe if we do a live show in person, come hang out with us. You know, eat on us and come hang out with the local folks here. That'd be awesome. But thanks again, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, thank you guys for allowing me to be on your platform and share a little insight of what I'm about. So you guys are good folks. I'll definitely be back soon. I appreciate you.
Okay, man. Talk appreciate to you. Jamie.
Take care. See ya. Yes, sir, man. What a good, yeah, we always talk about like, yeah, we want good football players, but you want good guys too. I mean, I don't think you'll find a much better guy than Jamion.
My goodness. How awesome was that? What a solid dude. He's got his head on straight. You can tell he's excited about the opportunity, excited to work hard. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. I think
I'm rooting for him. He's got a fan in me, I'll tell you that.
Same here. I think guys that realize the opportunity that they have, some guys just, I don't know. I feel like some guys just don't realize.
He gets it. Gets it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, I hope it all works out for him and goes well. And look, he seems like he's not afraid of the work either. So let's go, Jamion. Let's get it done. Like Glenn said, we're rooting for him. And those Hall of Fame reps, right, Glenn? That's what we want.
Dude,
can't.
Baby. I mean, dude, how cool is that? You're a Ravens fan and you end up being a Raven. Like, you're sitting there. You know that Ray Lewis sat in that locker room. You know T. Sizz sat. I mean, come on, man. I think it's I'm not in his shoes, and I'm like getting goosebumps thinking about what if I was, you know. I mean, that's freaking awesome. But look, we got a lot to talk about here, Jimbo. I got a ton I want your take on. I got a whole look, I got things I gotta talk to you about. Okay. So first and foremost, I want to get your take. We saw
I wanted to ask you really quickly a non-Ravens related question before we jumped into this.
Are we talking about the Timberwolves?
Dude, what's with the heating pad? I didn't see what's going on.
What do you mean?
Jamal Murray threw the heating pad on the court?
Yeah, the heat pack. He was frustrated with, I believe, the referees. And, yeah, I mean, dude.
Did he try and trip someone?
Well, I mean, look, you could step on that and slip and fall. I think they were saying he threw it at the referee, but I don't know about tripping. But he certainly could have tripped someone if they step on it, but...
Gotcha.
Dude,
okay.
I don't get it, man. Between Pat Bev just throwing basketballs at the crowd, then getting the ball back and throwing it again at the crowd. Like,
DK said he threw a towel first and then a heating pack.
I mean, I don't get it, man. You got to drop the hammer on the NBA has got to drop the hammer on these guys. Can't let it go. Can't, especially in Pat Bev's situation. He's beaming fans with the basketball.
Well, we know who runs this league.
A player, but not good. Not players that are the talent level of Patrick Beverley. You got to be a little bit better if you're going to have that kind of audacity. Like, you know, I don't know. And anyway, can do whatever the hell he wants, but not Pat Beverley. All right, look, the numbers come out.
Yep.
Here's the list of all the drafted rookie numbers. Now I'll get into the full rookie class, including the undrafted players here in just a sec. But anything, you know, every year I like to, I look at the numbers and I just really see, does any of them piss me off? And I remember all year last year being irritated by Jadeveon Clowney's number. I didn't like it one bit. You don't wear that. Was 24 as an outside 24. Linebacker. I don't like it one bit. None of these angered me. I was happy in that regard. Like, none of these were like, oh, what are you doing? That's a goofy number for your position. Nothing like that. What's your take? Anything on these numbers?
Yeah, I'm still trying to use the single digits on the outside, but it's not as weird, nearly as weird as 20s as an edge rush. Like, that's just odd to me. Yeah. But it's fine.
Yeah, it's kind of like whatever, right? It's not, but nothing that pissed me off. 81, big shoes, Tez. Big shoes. A lot of greats.
A lot of guys have worn 81 post
the GOATs. Yeah. But a lot of the great players had 81 on their back. So you certainly got to live up to it. Gosh.
Did it do the thing
that it likes to do?
Yep, it did.
All right, and then here is the list of all of the rookie class, including the 22 undrafted rookie free agents that were ultimately signed by the Ravens. So I'm going to zoom in here because I know you can't see any of it. All right, here we go. Look at that right in the middle. Jamie on, look at 6'1", D tackle out of Duke. Got to love to see it. So here's the entire list here in alphabetical order, both your drafted, undrafted, and undrafted rookies this year. And as you can see, quite a long list. Starting by Rasheen Ali, ending with Nate Wiggins there at the bottom, and a bunch in between. A bunch of names we're obviously excited about, but a bunch of names that, let's be honest, I mean, some of these guys are, this is their last shot in football. So whatever it is, whatever journey you're on, enjoy it, make the most of it. But yeah, it's an exciting time here to be a Ravens fan as these, the new members of the squad are introduced.
Mm-hmm. Well, Glenn, what I want to get into, is what your takeaways are from minicamp, from pressers, what you're getting excited about right now. And if there's anything that's got you, you know, in the contrary, got you nervous or concerned, anything like that. But I want to get a little bit, I want to dig into the brain of Glenn Martin and talk about what you gleaned from the footage and the interviews more than anything, I think is more telling.
Yeah, I think, well, look, you're not going to get a lot because you're not going to see much from the footage, right? It's only what the Ravens are going to release. And we did hear from a lot of the draft picks, a lot of the rookies, and we heard from Coach Harbaugh about his take on this. But of course, everything is good in his eyes. Everybody looks good. And he mentioned that, you know, Rosengarten's athleticism that he saw on tape, you know, he saw it here. He saw the way he can move his feet and, you know, the way he can bend and all those things is super exciting. I think he mentioned some positives as far as, you know, some of the perceived negatives of some of these guys. They want to see it for themselves. They want to see if it is true that, you know, TJ Tampa maybe does lack that speed. And from everything he saw, you know, of course, he was super impressed. I did hear mention of a lot. It's not just rookies here, right? Like, there's a lot of second year guys, some youngsters that are here as well, including Andrew Voorhees. And they talked about he's even stronger. Obviously, I mean, it shouldn't be any surprise that he's stronger since he came in. But when you think about him breaking records at the combine and doing so with a blown out knee, the fact that he's stronger tells me that he's one of the very strongest players on this team, despite the fact that he's only in his second year. So I like big, strong offensive linemen, especially if that guy can also move his feet. And so it's kind of cool to hear that guy at least looks the part. It looks like he's ready to go, because if Andrew Voorhees can live up to this, you know, second or third round talent that they thought he had before the injury, I mean, how big would that be for this offensive line to get that kind of play at left guard when, like, I don't know if there's another position where you have more uncertainty.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. A lot of people are depending on Andrew Voorhees to come through. A late round pick coming off an injury who has an injury history. A lot of people are just penciling him in. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And like you said, I'm happy to see that he's there. That he's taking advantage of every opportunity and seeming to thus far play the part. But lot left to be seen, right? You're right. I mean, that would be a huge question answered.
Yeah.
But I'm optimistic, but I'm very cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. Do you think they'll bring in, you think that there's still a guard signing?
No, I think they're
going to
roll with it.
Okay.
I think that they're going to roll with it. I mean, I could be totally wrong. If they bring in a guard, I don't think it's going to be a guy that...
Like a journeyman type, maybe.
Yeah, but
That's probably all that's left out there, honestly.
Yeah, but I think Voorhees has every opportunity to win it. If he doesn't, it's on him.
They want him to win that job. There's no doubt.
For sure. Can now we change gears real quick and talk about this Lamar thing? Because people are talking about it in the chat.
Let's do it.
The complex interview.
What about it?
I just saw the clip where he said he's super slim.
Yeah.
He's 205 pounds right now.
That is pretty thin. That's pretty thin.
Dude, I love it.
You like the wiry Lamar where he can, you know, maybe be a little more elusive, a little more speed.
Yes.
You don't worry that the lack of muscle mass could leave him more vulnerable to those, especially in the pocket injuries, right? Where there's big 300, 350 pound men falling on.
I don't think he, just because he loses 15, 20 pounds, I don't think he's losing muscle mass unless he's just not working out.
So you think that was fat?
A decent amount of it was, I mean, look at him last year. Like he had the quarterback look to him. Like it wasn't like he was,
but he also doesn't
like
look
he was cut up.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm okay with it. I'm excited about it because I think more than anything, what it means, he's taking it. It's serious, right? Like maybe he's not eating cereal as much anymore. Like whatever he's changed. I think it's good. I think he's taking his body serious.
I think flexibility is far more important for that position than necessarily bulking strength like a lot of the other positions. I mean, you look at the GOAT, you would never say that Tom Brady is a, you know, physically intimidating looking guy. Like he never had defined arms but he always promoted and talked about flexibility and the ability, I guess, to be on the bottom of a potential pile as the pocket collapsed around you and maybe be bent in some unfamiliar or abnormal positions and have the flexibility to not tear something, break something. Maybe that's the route he's going. But some people, of course, the negatives, you see it all on especially social media. He's not working. I've seen it all. He's not lifting like he once was now that he's got paid. You know, there's those detractors out there, but you're saying no, you don't think
I think he's being more conscious. I think that if Lamar were not doing anything, he would look the way he looked at the end of the season last year. I don't think he would. Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Which I think is not the case. Right. So I think he's being more intentional about it, which is a good thing.
Now, do you think a football camp, you think he'll make put on weight as the season goes on?
I don't know. I feel like that would be really hard to do. Because that's just me. I'm just thinking about like in season. Yeah. You know, you're just doing so much all the time where it's like, if you're going to make any real changes, it's going to be in the off season. That's the way I see it. I don't know. I think that if he comes, whatever he comes in as, I don't know. I mean, I feel it could be really hard to gain weight in the season. Whatever he comes in as, I think he's probably going to hang around. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if players have done it a lot throughout the season. Maybe between now and camp, he might put a little on. But I honestly don't. I think it's a bad, like the number is, it's bad. It's a bad like a litmus test. It's just a.
What would you say a healthy weight is for a 6'3" football player?
I don't know. I mean, it all. So think about this, Glenn. If you take something like rudimentary, like BMI, right? Think of Ray Rice and the way he looked as a player, right?
They would
Ray
say
Rice
he's obese. Yeah.
Right. So like, right. it's so independent to everyone's body that, I'm borderline. Yeah. Anyway, it's a whole thing. The whole weight to height.
You're borderline. You're considered borderline.
I'm right on the line for my height. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Which is like,
so it's crazy.
What else am I supposed to do here, Doc? Like, I'm supposed to be 135.
You gotta lose that fat ass of yours.
You know what I'm saying? So do I need to stop running so my glutes aren't as large? Like, what's the deal here?
You might be able to fit into some khakis if you did that.
Tell me about it, dude. My goodness, ridiculous. And it's like the more sprinting I do, the bigger my butt gets. Like, what am I supposed to do?
I saw Tanya when we were on vacation. Couldn't keep her eyes off of it, Jimbo.
Oh, but anyway, my point is that like it's just too independent to every person, right? Like Lamar, just being intentional and conscientious about the way he's working out, the way that he's eating is way more important than what his number is on the scale.
Yeah, I like that he's trying different things, right? He's not just doing the same. I like that he's willing to, hey, I'm open to suggestions. If this is what you think, you know, could help make me better, then let's do it. So,
because to your point, like even if you think of guys who played football similar to Lamar, I mean, I don't know, quarterbacks kind of remind me of pitchers sometimes.
They're a little unique in their body types and stuff.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you talked about Brady, but even if you look at like a Matt Ryan or I'm trying to think of some other, they're wiry guys for the most part. Even Aaron Rodgers is a wiry dude. And if you think about people that play like Lamar, it's not like way back in the day, Steve Young wasn't like pumping iron and, you know what I mean? Tim Tebow was a bodybuilder, right? Look at him now. You know what I mean? It's different. Yeah. Different. So, yeah, I just – I mean, Colin Kaepernick was real lean and thin as well.
Look at Mr. Mayo in for the Titans. Dude is jacked, bro.
Yeah.
The guy who puts mayonnaise – I always forget the daggone guy's name, dude. The quarterback for the Titans.
Puts mayonnaise in his
But he is – they showed – dude is jacked, like insanely jacked for a quarterback. So, I guess every body type, you know, it really comes down to how do you play. And genetics, I guess, plays a role in all this.
Yeah,
well.
Big time.
Will Levis, there it is. Will Levis. Why do I always forget that? Levi's. I got to – just memory triggers here. Some blue – I'm going to call him Mr. Blue Jean, okay?
Yeah.
That'll help me
there
out.
There you go. I like it.
That'll help me out.
Anyway, but, I know we want to talk about minicamp as well, but I know that everyone's talking about this complex interview. So,
yeah, well, the big thing for me is the one thing you never want to see, right, is injuries. And although there's nothing serious, we did see that Bo Braid rolled or tweaked an ankle. So he was in a boot. And that's my guy from Maryland, what I thought was maybe the biggest steal outside of Jamion as far as an undrafted guy. It was him, and to see him not able to participate in the first rookie camp, it's like, it's frustrating for the guy, because I think he's got all the opportunity in the world to make the team. A tweaked hammy for Adisa Isaac, it's like, it's just frustrating. You know, you want to see that guy get as many reps as he can, see if he can get on the field early, because we're going to certainly try and get Cole on here, because I know he's been breaking down all these guys in real in-depth individual videos, and I've been able to check those out. And Isaac's got to, look, there's a lot of guys in front of him when it comes to getting on the field early. And unless he wants to make his biggest impact as a special teamer, if he wants to get on the field defensively, he needs all the reps he can take, and a tweak hammy, that's not going to help. And then Rasheen Ali, he not his fault. He ruptured his biceps, I believe, at the Senior Bowl. So he's still working his way back from that. And so he's just doing air drills, but at least he was out there. He wasn't out there for the team stuff, but he was doing all the air stuff. He's out there moving. Whereas a lot of these, these other two guys, they're not doing much.
Yeah. I'm worried about, I never say it right. Is it Adasi? Adisi?
Adisa.
Adisa. Like Adisa
Isaac. Okay. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Okay. Adisa. Dang it, man. I get worried.
I know.
Dude, we get another edge guy that's injury ridden.
Oh no. Don't say it.
You know what I'm saying? That just makes me nervous, dude.
And you don't like to hear hammies, man.
No, because it's like a lingerer that like, dude, I've only had a hammy issue once, and it just, for me, it would nothing, and then you'd take one step, and then boom, and it would just shoot up out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden, you could be like, okay, and then just back and forth, dude. Like, I don't know.
Jimmy, I'm going to put this up on the show, dude.
No, do not.
I'm putting it on the show, bro.
Do not, dude. I just had to prove myself real quick. I don't know if I belong in the obese
BK
category.
Put it on the show. No. Throw it up, dude. Let's show Jimmy. Let's show everybody what Jimmy's working with, bro.
Hey, look, dude. That's pretty bad off, too.
Look, man. Look, that was public, bro. You know? That was public where that happened. You know what I'm saying? That
for sure. Everybody saw me, my freaking fat self barreling down the fairway in Frederick.
No, that's nothing to be ashamed of. You know what's to be ashamed of? When I was boogie boarding last summer in Ocean City, I'd forgotten how fast those things are. Okay. And I forgot you can't steer. And so I'm riding a wave, dude. This past summer, Jimbo. I'm going right for a child and I'm screaming, move the child. Jimmy, it's a Hispanic family. They don't know what I'm saying. They're looking at me like I'm crazy. As I'm coming to shore, luckily the father lifts the small child out of my way as I come careening into the shore. I get tossed upside down, twisted around. My shorts are pulled all the way up to my crotch. I roll over on my back, and there's an entire family looking down on me, just looking disgusted with me. Okay? Just disgusted with me. Okay?
Oh,
that is the shame. Okay? That, what you're showing, this is no shame. I had shame, Jimbo. Imagine me. You know what I look like.
No,
it's not pretty.
No, DK, don't do this.
Oh, yeah, Jimbo.
DK, don't do this.
There we go. There we go. That's right. Jimbo's no tubby. Look at him go. Look at him go. This guy flexing on him. Show him. That's right.
Oh, my gosh, dude. So now that you have this up here, I got to take a second. Thank you for not zooming in, by the way, DK.
No, now you need to zoom in. Okay.
No, I got to say, no training really in this one, Glenn. I mean, you know that. I mean, we're fresh off a kid, right? But wait,
there
are
we
you...
go. Huh?
Oh, okay, this isn't you, is it? Okay.
Huh?
Wait, how do we? I can remove. Oh, I have the power to remove this.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Good.
Magic Mike. There we go.
Oh my gosh! Stop. Wait, how do I do this right? There we go. There anyway, 2,451 people in this race. 172nd overall.
My man, Jimbo Slimbo.
Dude, I'll take it because, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, it's not easy.
It was a good one. Rainy, wet, cold.
Yeah.
Slippery. Tough stuff. Yeah, dude, it was a good time. But next one will be better. Anyway, back to the Ravens, the important stuff.
Yeah, I saw they did make some other additions here. It looks like I want to throw this up
DK
on the screen.
DK, put it up
here.
On the screen. I did I not love think it. You would do that.
Dude. I love it, dude. I'm glad he did, bruh. Don't be shy.
You know? Jeez.
Something to show off a little bit, Jimbo. Sashay. Sashay. All right, here we go. Look, I wanted to show you they made some other roster adjustments. They brought in Emory Jones, quarterback out of Cincinnati. Defense innate CJ Ravenel. How? I mean, are you kidding me? Was this guy born to be a Raven?
Right. What a great name, right?
Like, so cool. He's out of Missouri Western. Let's see. Both were tryout guys at minicamp. It looks like they lost a couple guys. At the corresponding moves is the wide receiver, Jelani Baker out of Limestone, and defensive tackle Trey Colbert out of Maryland are out. So get used to this. It's probably going to be a bit of a revolving door when it comes to those that back end of that 90 yep. man. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be revolving. And look, some of these guys aren't even part of that 90. They're tryout guys. So
right.
There's still a lot of roster changes and turnover as they see what guys got. They get looks at guys, and sometimes a quick look's all they need. And they, I love this from Don C.
I know.
Let's throw that right up there. There we go.
If I super chat after seeing Jimmy without a blouse, is this awkward now?
We know why you're super chatting, Don. It's okay. Don't be shy.
Dude, Glenn, you got to put up a picture so we can get Numra back in here.
Dude, hold on now. Let me get the lighting right and make sure I set the mood before I take my photo then. I mean, if that's the case, you know, you get some candles in the air. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, good old.
I knew a Numra once.
That's awesome. I appreciate it, Duncy. Thank you so much. Oh man, but Glenn, I've got to ask you this about the rookies.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we need the most? Oh, go ahead.
I have an exercise that I plan. Who's look? It's maybe not the one that I think it's interesting, but maybe not the nicest. Who do you think's the most? If you had to pick the most likely bust.
Ooh,
the way too early. Debbie Downer, rain cloud. Who's the bust of the group?
Yeah, it's the Penn State kid,
Adisa.
Yeah,
that's your pick, huh?
Yeah, I do not want it to be that. And you fall in love with the kid when you hear his story.
Oh
and
my gosh, dude!
Family yeah. and but I do. I think
if you had to pick one, that's the most likely. Yeah. Okay, because look, guys, I know this sounds like I'm being like a downer here, but the odds are.
Right.
Just like Coach said, sure. Like some of these guys are going to be way better. Some of these guys aren't going to be as good as they thought they were going to be. But as far as the biggest but, you got to pick one of the top end guys, right? Like you can't say Devin Leary is going to be a bust. He's a sixth round pick. That's not a bust. Anything you get out of a guy that late is a win, and anything that you know they do to hang around is a win. So I'm going to go with if I couldn't pick Isaac, I guess I got to go Roger, dude. Rosengarten.
Really?
Just because
his floor is high, though, right?
It is, but the thing that scares me, Jimbo, and I can't wait to get film guys on, is he had his worst game in the biggest moment against the best team. Yeah. This level, they're all the best. And every game is big. And what you don't want is a guy who maybe has a tendency of having their worst game in the biggest moments. That's what you don't want. And not saying that this is Roger. He could have had just a bad game at a bad time, and it was the one blip. But I'm just saying, it could be an issue, you know. But I don't think it will be. I think he's going to be our starter, and I hope I'm wrong. But you just never like to see a guy have his worst game in the biggest game.
Yeah, that's a good point. I just feel like his athleticism will carry him.
Yeah.
That's so funny when you were like, I have an exercise I planned. I was like, wait, Glenn, you planned an extra, you planned to exercise? I was like, what? That's
first see, of all, first of all,
I was like, dude, I was going to be so excited. Like, you have no idea how excited I was about to be, bro. Like,
you know damn well I ain't planning no exercise. The hell's the matter with you?
But seriously, I was about to be hyped, Glenn. Like, jump up out of my seat, hyped.
Oh, yeah, because you know why. I know why. You're hoping to get a running partner out of this, dude. You see this definitely. Long stride coming around the bend, dude. Right, relays dude. Are a very real thing here.
That's right. That's right. I'm tired of Craig, if he's watching, complaining about coming out here on Wednesday nights. Tomorrow's our first race. We'll see how it goes. No, I'm just giving Craig a hard time. But, yeah, no, I think, DK, do you have another guy outside of those two guys? Like, I don't see Wiggins being a bust. The only way Wiggins could be a bust is I don't think it would have anything to do with football.
I think it would be attitude. That would be the only way because he's so talented, dude. It would have to be. Yeah, he just doesn't have the makeup. With some draft picks don't. Like, it's crazy. They can't translate to this league. And again, not saying that Nate doesn't. We have no idea. We barely know the guy. We saw a couple. So DK says Rasheen Ali.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, does Rasheen Ali being a fifth rounder, can you call a fifth rounder a bust? Is that even possible to be a bust as a fifth or later? That's my only thing. Like, doesn't he have to almost be a fourth or better to even be considered third or better? Like, I don't know.
Right.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah.
But yeah, because if it wasn't, I would say Devin Leary, of course, the quarterback, which
your favorite draft pick. Is this your least favorite draft pick in how long, Glenn?
Dude, I can't even try. I was just stunned. I couldn't, which isn't fair because I did say before the draft, I wouldn't be shocked if they came out of this draft with a quarterback, but I thought that after they checked all the boxes and maybe a seventh round guy, there were still boxes that need to be checked when they took Devin Leary. I think there were still quality players that could have helped us this year. If Devin Leary, even if everything goes well, he ain't helping us. Like, when they even said it, Josh Johnson is the backup. Like, they asked Harbaugh, is there a competition for backup? He said, no, Josh Johnson is our backup. Devin Leary is going to be a third guy. He didn't even say it's a competition for backup. So it's like, how can this guy help make us better this year when this team is this close to winning? It was super puzzling. But yeah, I mean, I can't remember. I would guess probably the most Marlon Humphrey. I remember being absolutely shocked when they took Marlon, like stunned. But Adafe to some degree, because their history has always been take guys that have had success, that have numbers in college. Like, to take a guy who had zero sacks was pretty shocking also.
Yeah, and trying to justify it on top of that was that just made me angry.
Yeah.
Didn't Wink say something ridiculous like Reggie White had no sacks last year in college or something like that?
Well, yeah, it was him. Oh, Danielle Hunter, I think, had like a really crap, like from a sack standpoint, and then has been double digits pretty much every year of his career. But there's exceptions to every rule, but it's a rule for a reason, right?
Yeah, generally it's a rule for a reason. That's absolutely right. Man.
But I tell you, who are you most excited about? Like, who do you think has the biggest opportunity to excel? So we talked about who has the biggest opportunity to bust.
Well, it's funny. I think it's the same guy that I named as my – could you imagine if Adisi comes out there and plays – what is it?
Adisa
comes out there and plays like a man possessed and just shows Ajabo and Adafe, this is how you get it done on the edge as a young guy. I'm not saying he needs to come out there being all pro, be a pro, whatever, but like, he goes out there and plays really well, plays the run well, gets to the quarterback, imagine he has 5-7 sacks, something like that, and he's just a productive player. I mean, how impactful that would be at that position. The reason I think I pick him is because we have guys at corner. I know the line is also important, Rosengarten, but the reason I'm not picking him is because he's an offensive lineman. Like, he'll only get so much credit, right? But a guy coming off the edge in a big moment, don't you feel like we've missed? I mean, not to single out Terrell Suggs, because there are other guys we've had, but back in the day in big moments, getting to the quarterback off the edge in without the blitzes. Like, just getting there in the drive that, you know, we're up by 4 and they're driving down the field. There's 3 minutes left, or there's a minute and a half left. And somehow somebody makes a big play you know, somebody gets the quarterback. I feel like some of that just seems to be missing, and it would be great to get that back. It'd be really cool for him to be able to be that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I think the motor is what I think will help him early on, because a high motor guy just runs into production just because he plays hard. And right. Even if he doesn't necessarily beat the guy in front of him with his first move or anything like that. But for me, it's Tez Walker, just because of the role I think he could fill in year one. He'll have opportunities to make big plays. And you know, Todd Monken talked about it. If you guys haven't listened, we finally heard from Todd Monken. He did a podcast, Coaches Something, Arkansas. I watched it. It was like a 45-minute podcast. It was mainly about Monken's like whole career, not just specifically his time with the Ravens, but it was good. But he talked about key things as far as offense, like that really separate the game. And one of the big things he kept pointing to is big plays. He said, you have to be able to get chunk plays. You can't just consistently live on 10 to 15 play drives. And I think this guy is going to have an opportunity to flip the field, to get big time chunk plays, to get touched long touchdowns, and totally change the game. Despite not having maybe the reception totals, I think he could be up there when it comes to yards and touchdowns if he can put it all together and be that deep ball threat. They're comparing him to Torrey Smith, and we know that even when Torrey wasn't catching it, they even brought it up. This guy can draw defensive interference penalties and flip the field that way. Man, I love listening to the guy. The guy's a great interview. I think he understands what his role is going to be. I was watching Cole Jackson of Road Graders breakdown on him. He's not a guy like, he doesn't high point the ball like I, you know, traditionally want. Got to go up and hands catch it. But he has late hands, sneaky late hand. I don't think if I heard Cole bring this up, but he's got those sneaky late hands where the corner doesn't know the ball's even thrown his way until the ball's being caught, because he doesn't bring those hands up. Because what you don't want to do is bring those hands up early and then they're getting attacked by the corner. He brings late hands. And so even though he doesn't high point it, he's more of a basket catcher, kind of like Jacoby Jones.
Right.
He has those late hands. And I think he's going to be a guy who averages 16 to 18 yards per catch for us and has like a half dozen or more touchdowns.
Bro, I love it. I really hope that he adds a dimension to this offense that makes us less reliant on the other guys to do all of what they do and do the down the field stuff. So that's exciting, man. I'm looking forward to those two are both third round picks that we just mentioned, right? Like
he's a fourth. Tez was a fourth. And as well as,
oh, they were taking the same round though. It was back to back.
TJ Tampa.
Oh, nah, okay.
Adisa was third. And then the 2 4th rounders were Tez and TJ Tampa. But dude, TJ Tampa, another guy. Don't be shocked if that guy breaks out.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point, right? Because he's got all the tools, man, from a physical standpoint.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be awesome.
So this is gonna be an interesting team. I did hear Chris Sims, I'm sure you guys have seen it. I watched the video of him talking about how the Ravens still have a lot of holes to fill. And, I think he made some valid points there. He talked about how, you know, the Ravens can, at some points last year, got away from their bread and butter, the run game, definitely got away from it in the AFC Championship game. There's no way you could argue that. But he also said something else, Jimbo. I want your opinion on this. And it kind of hurt my heart a little bit when he said it.
Oh, boy.
He said, he said, look, this is going to be a good team like it is every year. He said, but last year was their year, man. They were supposed to win it last year. Like, are you fully turned the page from last? Like, do you still look at it like last year was their year? And no matter how good they get this year, they won't be able to reach like as good as they could have and probably should have been last year?
Nah, I don't think I'm on to the next. I don't think anyone that's competing in real time, like, actually has the capacity to think that way. Like, if you're a true hunter, go-getter, competitor.
Well, they might not be thinking that way, but is that the reality?
Right. No, I don't think it's the reality either, because I don't think the guys think that way. What I mean is that, like, if you have the mentality that this year is going to be better than last year. Do you remember the interview? I loved it when Giannis, I think this was 2 years ago, the presser,
oh,
the interview asked him, he said, was this season a failure?
Yeah.
He said, basically, so every other year, you don't make the finals and win the championship, it's a failure. is that, you know, there are steps to be taken, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the way that I see this whole thing, right? Like, sure, it didn't work out last year, but what can you do about it now? All you can do now, the best thing you can do is you got pain, you're in pain, learn from it and use it.
Yeah.
Move forward, right? Like, that's all you can do. So for me, I think the Ravens have potential to be better than last year. I think that every single year going into the season, honestly, regardless of what the roster is, because every game has to be played.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just don't mm-hmm. know look, I said it, dude, the Chiefs aren't even going to win their division this year.
You do one of these crazy ones, you haven't been wrong yet. I got to say it, guys.
Yeah, I mean,
he hasn't been wrong, even when I thought he was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, we don't know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
So the game's got to be played. The players got to get on the fields, and that's when win and losses happen. I think he's wrong. I think to say this was our year and there's no other year. No, the Ravens don't even operate that way. Every year can be the Ravens' year for the most part, unless there's a detrimental injury to the one person who shall not be named. I think that's ridiculous. Yeah, get out of here.
I tend to agree with you. I think what it is Chris Sims likes the Ravens. And I think he was hurt, like a lot of Ravens fans were, how the season ended, how it looked, the way it ended. It's not like they played their best and were just bested. Like, they didn't even look like themselves. So I think he's still a little hurt. And I think a lot of Ravens fans are. So I'm going to give him a pass there, even though, you know, I don't like hearing that the window's closed or that was their best shot. And I don't like hearing all that, but I'm going to give him a pass because I think secretly deep down, he is a Ravens fan. I know he's a Lamar Jackson fan. He has been since day one. So I'm going to give him a pass. But, man, it hurt my feelings when he was like, last year was the year. Because I think last year, a lot of Ravens fans did feel like this is our freaking year, until it wasn't. And let's hope that this year it is. But, yeah, exciting times, guys, to be you know, fans of the Ravens with the activities that are on the horizon here. The season is – I mean, look, it's not too far off when you really think about it. Like, training camp isn't too terribly far away. We got OTAs on the horizon. Wait till we see some camp cuts. We could see some surprises elsewhere that could, you know, end up finding their way over here to the Ravens. And we'll certainly be rooting for all these rookies and young guys to do their best and make this decision as hard for Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh as humanly possible. Everyone ball out. Make these guys lose sleep when it's time to cut guys. That's what I'm rooting for.
Absolutely. Let us know what you guys think below when it comes to the rookies, bust potential, guys you think as dark horse wild cards that you think are going to break out. Of course, let us know what your thoughts are on the Jamion interview. That was awesome. Shout out to him once again for coming on. If you hopped in afterward, go check it out. At the beginning of the show, we had him on, which was great. Yep. Looking forward to seeing him out there. That's it for us tonight, folks. We'll talk to you soon.
See you.